chapter 2. And this is the aftermath of Christmas. The child grew, verse 40, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year to feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, they returned. As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Even then, Brother Mike, he had the answer. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, and this is in red in your Bible, and it's the first recorded words of Jesus. What would he say? The first words of Jesus that got into Holy Writ. What would he say? What kind of milestone would he put here in the road? What kind of stake would he drive? What kind of memorial would he build? His first recorded words in the Bible are, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He had his priorities straight too, didn't he? He knew what his father's business was. Come on. Amen. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Luke researches it out. He gets these first words of Jesus. Did he get it from Peter? Maybe. Amen. Mary, tell Peter or John, and then they tell Luke. Or did he get it straight from the mother herself? Amen. Kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. That's always a prerogative of those that God uses. When he first starts, he needs to have favor with God and man, because they twain are going to launch you forth on your career for God. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I wish that would always last. After a while, he lost favor with man. Amen. Even his own family didn't understand him after a while. But to start out with, he had to have that. And to start out with in the ministry, you got to have that. You got to have a good report of both God and man. Now they may change down the road and turn against you, but you don't have to change. See, all some folks have got against me is we all started together just alike, believing the same thing and preaching the same thing, but they changed and I didn't. And now they're mad at me and speak evil of me because I didn't change. And they used to preach the same thing. I got tapes to prove it. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Back to 49, that's where we'll start. How is it that you sought me? Wished you not I must be about my Father's business. That's what I'm going to call it, Billy. What is the Father's business today? Father's business? Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, verse 13, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Good question, isn't it? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Get ready now, he's going to say something, oh, so profound. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, you're a small pebble. Amen. And upon this rock, this big stone is bigger than Gibraltar. This huge rock. Not Peter, amen, who's a pebble. But upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And sometimes I make notes when other preachers preaches on something, and it says, Dougie Stevens, 9th month, 23rd day, 1995, Saturday night, he preached on firefighters. You remember that, Doug? From this scripture, he preached on, I mean right here, hallelujah, to gates of hell. We got some folks that's building a church, snatching folks from the burning. Praise God. Snatching men and women, boys and girls from the crypt. Amen. What is God doing today? Jesus said, wist you not I must be about my Father's business. What's God's business today? How many would like to be a part of God's big business? By the way, amen, just call it that. Bessie, Billy, back there if you want to. God's big business, if you haven't already got it typed in. God's big business. I'd like to be a part of it. Wouldn't you? Amen. God's big business. What is God's big business today? Well, hallelujah, to make a long story longer, it's the church. Amen. The church, that's his business today. What's God doing today? He's building a church. Yes. Woo, hallelujah. You want to be a part of it? I do. I'd like to be a part of God's big business. Hallelujah. Building up the building, if you please. Building the house of God, and we are members in particular. We are, the Bible said, lively stones. Amen. Amen. Me and Brother Gerald. Amen. Brother Hughes mixed the mud. Put that brown coloring in it. Amen. And Brother Richardson. Amen. Carried it bucket at a time in, and me and Brother Gerald laid those stones up there. Amen. And I remember when Brother Gerald laid the first one over there, kind of slightly to the right hand behind one of those flowers. And Brother Richardson saw that we had made the start. He said, "Well, that's one." Amen. Every time one of them comes up here, praise God, and falls in the altar and gets washed in the blood and born again, we can shout, "That's one." Brother Richardson was glad. He laid the first stone. Amen. Because there's a lot of folks looked at that pile of rocks out there just at the foot of those steps, and they didn't like the way those rocks looked. They doubted how that would turn out. Amen. But after Brother Gerald got done, amen, they wished we'd have cut more of that plywood back so they could see more of the rocks. They liked it so well. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is building something. He's building a church. Amen. And we're lively stones if we're born again, built up in a spiritual house. We need to find out today what God's doing. There's a lot of people say, "Well, I don't believe you got to go to church to be a Christian." Well, you may not if you die 5 minutes after you get saved, but if you got a week, you need to go to church. If you don't care about going to church, you don't care about God's business. And you're not even saved. Hey, write it down. L.L. Collins said it. If you don't care about going to church, you don't care about God's business, and you're not saved. Because he's building a church just this side of the gates of hell, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Lena Bradley now, she had a grandpa that he wound up in the equivalent of the old folks home in the Ukraine. Amen. And one day he ran away, and they searched and searched and searched for him. And finally, you know what somebody done? They found him in the church. Amen. So he ran away again, and they looked everywhere to find him, and finally they found him in the church again. Same church. Amen. So ever thereafter, when her grandfather ran away from the rest home, they went straight to the church. He would go to the church, and there he would be in the house of God. Hey, he might have had Alzheimer's, he might have been addled, but he knew where the big business of God was going on. It was in the church. Praise God. Hey, hey, hallelujah. And they found Jesus after they sought for him for 3 days, looked for him for 3 days. They was 4 days absent. Amen. They searched for him for 3 days, and when they found him, after the duration of about 4 days thereabouts, where'd they find him? They found him in the temple of God. They found him in the house of God. They found him in the church. Hallelujah. And you know where they'll find us just as soon as we can get there, every time we can get there. Amen. Hey, regardless of storm or high waters, praise God, we'll go to church. Amen. Sister Bessie was saying about those folks going to church a while ago. They had cardboard in their shoes. And the old stove in the corner wouldn't keep them warm, but that didn't keep them out. They went to church. Hallelujah. And you know what God's doing today? He's building a church. And there is a sixth sense. We've got five, they say. Amen. And naturally, hearing, seeing, smelling, feeling, tasting. Amen. All those senses belong to the body. Well, we got another one that senses. It's called faith. Spiritual insight. Amen. And we know instinctively, being born of the Spirit, what God's business is. And we'll go to church. Hallelujah. You know the first thing that happens when a person begins to backslide and lose out with God? Just watch it. They begin to drop out of church. Hit and miss. Amen. You know how to find favor with God and men that's going to, if you ever do much for God, be the ones that's going to put you on a launching pad and set you off and blast you into orbit. Amen. You're going to have to find favor with the church. With God and men. Amen. Oh, after a while in your progression and in your spiritual growth, they may have occasion to say, "Why, amen, I know him ever since he got saved. I knew him when he didn't have a boot and a shoe. Amen. I knew him before he could talk and walk. I've known him all his life. Who does he think he is?" You know, when you begin to spread your wings, there may be some that will begin to question. But down the road further yet, I mean further back, they saw you get saved and they saw you live for God and they saw you faithful and they appreciated you for it. Now, when a prophet is without honor in his own country, it's probably time to change towns. And that's what Jesus did. When they attempted to throw him over the cliff at Nazareth, and every time we go to Nazareth and wind up to Nazareth from down below in the valley, amen, the guide points over yonder to the precipice where they led Jesus to throw him over the cliff. Amen. Same people that he gained favor with to start with. Why? Why did they turn against him? Because God's got a way of stirring our nest and helping us to know when it's time to change towns. Where'd he go? He went to Capernaum. He set up his headquarters in Capernaum. Amen. And there in Capernaum, Jesus built his foundation, his base. Praise God, right on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. Amen. A fishing village. Amen. And, amen, probably the home of Zebedee, James and John's daddy. They found a place. A house they call St. Peter's House. Amen. And they made a museum out of it in Capernaum. I doubt if it's St. Peter's House. I think it's more likely, amen, somebody a little bit better to do, maybe Zebedee, because he stayed. When James and John left, he didn't leave. Tradition says that he cursed them and derided them because they were taken off after this itinerant preacher. Well, I know this much. We never hear much more about Zebedee. But we hear a whole lot about James and John. Because they knew what the priority was. They got the message straight from the Son of God. Amen. And they were in God's big business. Amen. Hey, they helped to write the book, folks. They helped to lay the foundation, folks. Hallelujah. Peter helped to write the book. Amen. Did he dictate Acts to Luke? Did he dictate St. Luke's evangelistic a story about Christ to Luke. Amen. I don't doubt it, but he helped to write the book. Amen. What's God's big business today? He's still writing books. He's still publishing the gospel. He's still sending forth the message to the ends of the earth. He's still translating, praise God, and rewriting the book in 1,000 different tongues so the whole world might know the blessed story that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. We're sitting with a group of Chinese architectural students. They were kind of old. They had come to Rome. They were not necessarily young people. They looked more 30-ish to me, and 35-ish, and some of them looked 40-ish. Amen. Architecture students. They had been to Rome, Italy, to study architecture. And we wound up on the same plane. They're on their way back to China, and we're going to Romania. Here they are in their gray pajama-like uniforms, both men and women. One of them was a lady, maybe two or three of them, but this one was a little more outgoing, and she began to talk to us about what we were doing. And we began to talk to her. She was pretty good in English. And so Jim opened his Bible to John 3:16 and turned it around and let her read it. And she said, "Oh, yes. This is so beautiful." And said, "You need to tell it everywhere you go." She had never read it before. You're used to it. It's old hat to you. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a beautiful message to a downtrodden world. It's so common to us, we've known it ever since we were children. Amen. But one reason we're bored with it is we haven't shared it with those that need it enough. If we could just see them smack their lips and enjoy it, it'd make us enjoy it more. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Amen. That old man that hauled us across the Pascagoula River, sitting there living in a broken down shack with a family. His children were picking ice off of a refrigerator that didn't have any door on it. He said in a toothless speech, he said, "That's a good refrigerator." He said, "All it needs is a door," as he sat there eating fried chicken. Somebody had sent off and brought him a fried chicken. And there he was eating the whole thing by himself. And his hungry children were sitting there watching him. And when he got done, he'd hand one of them a bone. And he said, "I'd have been glad to have a bone like that when I was a kid." He ate the chicken and gave the kids a bone. Amen. He hauled us across the river. Amen. And charged us $1.50. That's how he made his living. And we went over in Clyde Beach, paddled the boat out of the front. Clyde caught more fish than we did. He was fishing with nothing but a turkey quill on a light line and a cricket, a camel cricket on the hook. And oh, when you saw that quill begin to turn in the water, you had to jerk quick because you knew you already had your cricket and gone with it. Clyde caught more fish than we did. He said the fellow that sits in the front of the boat catches more. He accused me and Brother Harley of fishing for him instead of for the fish. Anyhow, we got him. We got him before the revival's over. We got Clyde Beach. He made a preacher too. He died with a heart attack several years ago, about 15. Amen, more or less. Amen. And now Brother Harley has joined him. Hallelujah. In that grand and glorious reception. What a reception. And old Brother Lyon and old Brother Long, both Brother Longs, Doug Innitt used to be in the Gilbertown area, praise God. Brother Hiram McDuffie, Ethaniel, Brother Jack Corley, amen. Two or three other of those preachers that preceded him in death. Brother Harley is the last of a long line of those old residenters. But what a meeting they're having over yonder. Praise God. And what a work they did in their life. You see, I was at Buster Wilson's 3-day fellowship meeting. He, after fasting and prayer, amen. Brother Mike talked about fasting without water. Buster fasted 10 days without water. You can't even do that without medical help. The skin was coming off his body in chunks. Because 10 days without water is a medical emergency. 7 days, they say, is all you can last. Moses went 40 because God sustained him. But Buster called fasting and praying, doing something for God. Buster might have had his faults otherwise, but he started. You got to shell down the corn. Give credit where credit's due. He started the 3-day fellowship meetings. Amen. Brother Ernie Edwards had the second one in Bristow or Kellyville, Oklahoma. That's where it started. Just northeast of Bristow. I was there at the second one. Amen. In 1953. Amen. I was at Buster Wilson's 3-day fellowship meeting when Brother Howell got up and announced that they was going to have one at Allentown. I didn't know where it was or if it ever had existed before. And he said, one day, he said, we'll have seafood. Brother Hiram McDuffie, pastor. They had the first 3-day fellowship meeting in the South at Allentown. Buster Wilson's meeting went great guns. Amen. It was a sight what a meeting they had. The Kellyville 3-day fellowship meeting turned into a mighty camp meeting at Bristow, Oklahoma. They had to move it. They didn't have room for it anymore. Amen. The old church in Allentown got to where it couldn't hold them. What was we doing? We was building a church. We was building a base for preachers to come and meet and have a glory time, a mighty festive time, praise God, a foundation for fellowship and evangelism and missionary activity until, praise God, the countryside across this United States was dotted with a dozen camp meetings and a dozen 3-day fellowship meetings. Amen. And the people of God, the wholeness message was going great guns for God. It was God's answer to a more local meeting, camp meeting type. It was God's alternative to the dying tent meeting, the deliverance meetings of Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, Willie Freeman, William Branham, Gail Jackson, H.E. Hart, amen, and U.S. Grant, and a whole bunch more that started out good. Not very many of them that lived stayed straight, but some of them did. Amen. It had to die. It did die because men had a tendency to allow the applause of the people to corrupt them. And it always happens, folks. Sooner or later, men begin to take seriously the applause of men and steal the glory from God, and God has to bring an end to certain movements. Then God localized it, the 3-day fellowship meeting, the camp meeting. Amen. A mighty move of God. What's God doing? Ah, you can find it. You can find it if you're looking for it. You can find it if you want it. Hey, I don't care if you come into town and say, I don't know anybody. I moved here and there's no church like we had back in Hamilton or back we had like we had back down in Kentucky. Hey, start one. Don't use it for an excuse to quit. Pray through. Start one. Amen. Well, I just can't afford to have big preachers come by. Yeah, you can. Amen. Save up your tithes. Pay them to the preacher when he comes by. You can have anybody you want. You can support anybody you want to. Hundreds and hundreds have done it. Praise God. They just saved up their tithes. Amen. John W. Selman could have William Branham. Amen. At the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Middletown. One of the greatest men, the greatest prophets in his prime that ever wore shoe leather. Amen. He just saved up his tithes. Amen. And supported a man of God. Hallelujah. You can if you will. You can if you want to bad enough. You just got to get your priorities straight and realize that, amen, the success is in the gift. The success is in God's God-called man. Amen. God's God-called, God-sent man. Amen. Hallelujah. I sat in council with preachers several years ago and was trying to build a camp meeting out here, amen, south of Xenia, Ohio. And one of them, local pastor, said, I don't think we have to send off to Oklahoma or somewhere to get a preacher to come in. Said, we got good preachers right here. I looked at him as serious as a heart attack. I said, that's your meeting. It's God's gifted men. Yes, you do have to send off and bring people in. Because you get tired of the same ones. Their face gets tired. Their stories get old. Amen. You have to have a new gift. Amen. And you can do it if you got your priorities straight. Praise God. People are not going to come to a camp meeting to hear the same stuff. Amen. Cornbread and beans is a delicacy to most of us because we've done without it for a while. Amen. But when we was home, cornbread and beans and fatback wasn't very much.